Thank you, Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And just want to take a moment and remind everyone why we are here. Amen. We're here. Yes, I'm going to need both of those. We're here to receive from the Lord. We're here to hear from God. Amen. We're here to receive from the Lord. We're here to hear from God. And the Lord is going to help you hear from him today. I think I need to talk about something before I get into my message. I was going to save it for later. I was really struck this week of understanding the struggle of hearing God and understanding what he's doing. I was reminded this week, and you've heard me talk about perception and vision and those things. I was reminded this week that we do not see with our eyes or hear with our ears. We actually see with our brain and hear with our brain. You can hear something, and if your brain does not interpret what you've heard, you will not know what you've heard. So we think we hear, and therefore we heard. No, our brain takes it and makes it something that we can understand. A little baby can smell something, not understand it. A baby can see a snake and not understand it's a snake, that it's about to lose its life. You follow it? It's seeing that, but it doesn't understand what that means. So beyond just seeing, I need understanding. And until I get understanding, what I see does not make sense to me, even though it's there. All right, stay with me. So until I can organize what I see properly, it can be right in front of me, and I don't know what it is. You follow that? Now, which means, and this is strange, I have to learn how to see. So when I look at things, and they tell me that really what I see is upside down and we flip it over. I don't understand all of that. But let's say I was able to see from age birth to age 10, and then I lost my ability to see for 20 years, and then 30 years later, new technology, they fixed what was wrong with my eyes, and now my eyes were working. I would then have to learn how to see again. Because what I don't use, I lose. So part of my seeing is part of my experience of seeing. I'm talking about faith here in just a minute. You have been born seeing when you've been born again. You have already been healed, but you don't see that. God has already repaired your eyes. He has fixed your eyes. The Bible said by his stripes you were healed. But your brain or your soul has to learn how to understand your healing in order to receive it. Just as a baby again, a baby can see a snake and not know it's a snake because it doesn't understand what it is seeing. Your healing could be right in front of you and you not understand it's your healing and you don't receive it. You can walk by faith then before you see it based upon what God has said is true. And you learn by experience by receiving what God has already said and then building on that. Okay, baby, did I lose everyone? I just lost half of you. Let me say it again because I'm talking about here. In just a moment, I'm going to open the scripture and we're going to literally start reading what the Bible says, right? Some of us will read what the Bible says in just a moment. And we won't receive it, not because it isn't there, but because we don't understand that it's there and don't understand how to apply it. Let me say it another way. If we had somebody walk in here today and start speaking to us in German, how much German would you understand? Why not? Huh? You haven't learned any German. Yeah, but it's still German. Would people be able to speak to each other in German clearly? Would they be able to take what you said and translate it over into German for other Germans to understand? Huh? So we could have a conversation in English. They could translate it over into German, and all of the Germans could understand it, and we not understand it. So where is the problem? It's not in my hearing. It's in my understanding of what I hear. How will I learn to understand German? Okay, I would study it. And how would they start teaching me to understand German? Would they start teaching me long German words? Huh? Short German. Little baby steps, amen? So watch this. So then I actually learn by experiencing as I learn. Do you follow that? Let's go back to faith. The Bible said you are healed. How will I receive my healing? I'm going to have to accept the little that I can and build on that. Who woke you up this morning? The alarm clock or Jesus? Are you sure? Some people say, okay, the alarm clock didn't go off, amen. So you woke yourself up, amen. Some of you didn't go to sleep last night, so we have to change the question, amen. Amen. So who caused you to be born? Were you working on your own birth? Amen. Were you in there working on trying to be born? So somebody else was involved in that. Can you believe that God is responsible for you being here? You sure you believe that? You didn't come from a monkey. Are you sure? Your neighbor came from a monkey, but you didn't come from a monkey. Okay. All right. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because if you believe that, do you believe that God has saved you? Okay. Some of you are sure, some of you are not. So can you build on that? Well, okay. Let's make it real easy. You ready? Real easy. Do you believe that God wanted you to come to church today? Okay, that's real easy because you're here, amen? All right, the devil didn't want you to come. God wanted you to come. You're here. Now, can you believe, build on that? God wanted me to come to church, and I made it, right? God has other things for me. Did God see today before you saw today? He did? And so you're now right where God wanted you to be, even though he saw today before you got up this morning. Okay. Is it possible then for God to have something else for you that you don't see today? Is that possible? Is it possible for God to have something for you that you don't see today? Is it possible for God to say you are healed? No. Is it possible for God to say you were healed before you were born? So even before you were born and got old enough to get sick, Jesus had already said you were healed. So if I can go back and know that God knew about today before today was here, can I go back and know that God knew about my healing before my sickness was here? Therefore, I can grab my sickness today even if I don't see it. Because I simply understand that it's there. Did you follow that? So any sick want to be healed today? Okay. I feel like going back to where we were last week, amen? Maybe I need to do that. Why did you come to church today? Because she made you, all right. That's a good one, amen? Amen. I remember those days when somebody made me come to church, amen. Okay, so some are here because someone made them, amen. Any other reasons? Because you wanted to be here, okay. Why did you want to be here? So Jesus said, I want you to be here. When did he say that? Last night? Jesus came. I want you to be at church last night. What does Jesus sound like? What does he sound like? Anybody else? So we have three people at church today. The rest of you are not sure why you're here? Huh? You want a blessing. What does that mean in general? What does a blessing mean? The word blessing simply means to be happy or to be made happy. You want to be made happy? Okay, what would God need to do to make you happy today? Draw you closer to, like, what? The pulpit? To the to him? Okay, I'm going to mess with you, all right? No, and I'm doing that because I'm trying to make a point. You ready? How much closer can you get to God if he's already in you? And stay with me because I'm getting ready to preach in a minute, but I'm trying to prepare us. How much closer, if God is already in me, how much closer can I get to him? And I'm going to raise another question. All right. Oh, Lord. So where you want to feel him? You ready? What do you want to feel? What would it feel like if God was here? Amazing. What does amazing mean? Sister Taylor, I know you're my mother, so, you know, in the Lord, I can, you know, she's my mother in the Lord, not biologically, but raised me up, so she's not going to whoop me after church, amen? But I'm trying to make a point. What would it feel like if God was here? Because God is here. And he's in you. He woke you up. There's something he wants to say. So what is it that would draw you closer to him, or what would separate you from him? Yes. Several reasons you came to church. Yes, you could have stayed home and worshiped God, but you would have missed this, but you could have stayed home and worshiped God. Yes. Okay. 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 Yes, he can't speak to you at home. So you came to hear a word from God that he would put in my heart to share with you. Okay. And the fellowship with other believers. So your presence is intentional here. Just like yours, you have something in mind. Now, I'm going to ask you then to focus in on what God is doing. How would you know that God has spoken to you today? Okay, what would his spirit do or say? He would speak to your spirit. And how do you know God is speaking to your spirit? His sheep knows his voice. Amen. Somebody here, we're going to move you to the front row. Amen. She has all the correct answers. Whose wife is that? That's your wife. Okay. Okay, y'all get an A for today. Amen. All right. Okay, now what I'm going to do, remember we just looked at Hebrews 3 and 4. If you don't mix what I'm saying with faith, it will not work. You ready? And remember, I said most of what God does, you don't understand, so you have to work on seeing because it's already there. God is, you're not going to get more of God than you have now. Unless you're missing the baptism of the Holy Spirit or something like that. I'm going to show you what that is about. But you can have more of God. He's in you. And you will see that. Okay, let's get started. Let's get started. Everybody clear? No one needs a miracle today? Huh? What kind of miracle does anyone need today? What kind of miracle do you think people need today? So I wanted to put you on the spot. Some of you are afraid to say what kind of miracle you need. Yes, ma'am. You want to be made whole. What does that look like if you were made whole? But it doesn't look like anything is missing or broken. Oh, no, we don't want you to show us anything broken, but I'm just saying. You got some broken things in your life. Okay, so no lack in your life. You don't want to be lacking anything. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to stop there. We're going to pray to God. Amen. Some of y'all are too scared to say you have a need. Amen. So one person here is believing that there's no lack in their life. Amen. Oh, now they're saying no. Let's get started. Amen. Amen. Huh? You need something. And she needs a blessing. Amen. Amen. Let's get started. I want to talk about receiving the power of God. Again, I was going to go to releasing the power of God, but I want to make it clear about the receiving part before I go to the releasing part. Got to be clear about receiving. You ready? I remember last week we talked about you must be born again first. You remember? You have to be born again. If you're not born again, then the rest of this doesn't matter. So first you have to set aside the fact of being born again. I need God to come into my life and make me a different person, right? And I talked about being a different kind of person. I knew when God changed my life, right? I knew when I made decisions about criminal activity. I remember making those kind of decisions. I remember those things. I also remember when God changed my life. I remember the change that I was giving my heart to God. So I was born again. And in that experience, something happens with you. Let's go to John chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, there's one you can look on with. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. That's a review of last week. I want to review it so you'll be very clear of what this is about. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. Notice the wording here. It says in John 14, 16 and 17, 14, 16 says, I will pray the Father. Do you see that? Okay. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may do what? Abide with you how long? Forever, right? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he what? Dwelleth how? With you and shall be what? In you. And then Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So notice the wording, he will abide with you and he's going to be where? In you. Do you have that? So you have the with you by your side and he's going to be in you. You have those two? He's going to be with me and he's also going to be what? In me. So when the Holy Spirit is in me and the Holy Spirit is with me, that is my conversion experience. He is with me by my side, and he is in me. I have been born again. He is with me, and he is what, everybody? In me. Those are two different prepositions. Now that I have been born again, there is another experience beyond that. How do we know? When Jesus talked about it, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is to be with you. There's a word for that that he used. Then he used a different word for the Holy Spirit in you, those experiences you used to have. And then if you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and verse number 8, we're going to find also a different experience that God has available. Jesus is talking in Acts chapter 1, and let's begin with verse number 4 and also look at verse number 8, 4, 5 and verse number 8. And we may read all the way through anyway. But anyway, let's start with verse number 4. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse number 4. I want to make sure you understand this before we talk about how to release the power. Do you have it? Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now watch, Jesus is speaking. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse number 5, what happened? For John does what? Truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Number 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse number 8, but you shall do what? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is with you or in you. Come upon you. Notice the difference. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me where? Both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in what? The uttermost parts of the world. So notice again the wording. Notice again the wording. You ready? The Holy Spirit is to be with me. Somebody say with me. And to be where? In me, right? That's my conversion experience. But then Jesus is saying, you also going to get power when the Holy Ghost does what? Come upon you, that is something different. I'm to have the Holy Spirit with me. I am to have the Holy Spirit in me. But I'm also to have the Holy Spirit come upon me. Do you see that? Let me show you here, if I can demonstrate with you what I'm talking about here, that should be in the life of every believer. And I want you to understand, why am I doing this? I am doing this and hitting the subject again because God has been dealing with me about not sharing with you a number of things I know. I am learning more and more about how to walk in the Spirit. I'm learning how to have what I don't see with my eyes but know it's there. You remember I told you about perception, right? Because I'm learning perception now, I can get hooked into God, to things in the Spirit, and don't have to see it in front of me to know that it's there. I can call those things that are not as though they are, and they can manifest because they really are there. I just did not see it. I didn't understand it. Do you remember what we talked about? Just like somebody speaking German. It's a real understanding of German. I just don't understand it. Do you see that? Watch this. When the Bible says God is to be with me, that's like that. Do you see it? So the Holy Spirit is what, everybody? With me. So the Holy Spirit now is supposed to be with me. And then the Holy Spirit is also supposed to be what? In me. Lord Jesus, I may make a mess. Somebody come help me out. I want to open up another couple of these bottles. So the Holy Spirit is what, everybody? With me. And now, if you can open up these two. And the Holy Spirit is also what? In me. Do you see what's going on here? The Holy Spirit is in me. Now, is this a separate experience? Yes, open up the next one. Is that a separate experience, the Holy Spirit with me? Huh? Is it? Come on, class. Is there a difference? Is there a difference between the Holy Spirit with me and the Holy Spirit in me? Yes or no? Come on, don't be afraid to answer. Yes or no? There is a difference. Amen? And what is the difference? The Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. I'm just messing with you now. Now, Jesus comes along and said, "You shall receive power." The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. But you shall receive power after that, what? The Holy Spirit has come on you. Listen, to the point where you are filled to the point of what? Of overflow. Y'all saying, ooh, but we need a whole lot of ooh up in church, amen? Because I need God to get not just on me, but on you. Are you listening to me? We need an overflow of the Spirit of God in church running off of me all over everybody around me. Thank you. And this is where Jesus says, and you shall receive power after you have been filled up to overflowing. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get me another glass. I need another glass. Somebody get me another glass. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A cup or something. They're getting ready to invent something, church. Just hang on. We got some very creative people around here. Amen. 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 There's some cups somewhere in the house. Amen. But anyway, you're going to receive power after that. The Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. He's going to fill you up to what, everybody? Overflowing. Amen. While we're waiting for a cup, somebody help me out. Let's start filling up this bottle right here. Amen. We're going to make a mess in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to do what? We're going to fill this up. So now, here's the problem. We got a whole lot of... Yeah, just hold that for a moment. I hope you don't... I'm not sure what's about to happen. Okay, Brother Pete got a cup. Amen. Amen. Because we're going to try to get all of this in there. Well, let's work with the bottle for a minute. Stay here. Some of the problems with us, stay here. Stay as in stay here. Amen. He thought I was talking to the Lord. Amen. He'd leave. Okay, turn around the other way if you could. Now watch this. Some of us are sitting up in church like this. And we're trying. And they're jumping. And we're trying to get the Holy Ghost in them. How much are they getting? Not much. Not much, because of their own individual restrictions to the power and the anointing of God. They come to church week after week. I'd rather be open to all God has to happen in my life. Amen. Don't be so concerned about the water. Look at your experience. Some of us have church so nice and neat where the Holy Ghost is with me, and I better not get excited and say amen because I might mess up my clothes, my makeup might run, my hair might get all messed up, and somebody might get mad. But when the Holy Ghost gets all over you, he will get over on your neighbor, amen, and all around you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. My assistants are so nervous, I'm going to let them go sit down. Amen. Amen. They're so sharp, and it's not even Easter weekend. Amen. They're just nervous. Amen. Pastor, go mess up my clothes. Amen. With a little water. Amen. But people get nervous like that up here in church. Amen. Thinking something's going to jump off on you. Your life is like a container. Are you listening to me? Your life is like a container, and there are a whole lot of folk up in church just like that. You have the Holy Ghost with you. You have the Holy Ghost in you. But you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where God begins to overflow in your life. And that is what you are missing. The abundance and the bursting of God out of you, flowing over. And Jesus said, when that happened, you would have power in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the world, overflowing out of you power in your life. Let me back up and say it. Is that clear? Or do I need to throw some water around? Amen. Is that clear? Huh? Many Christians have the Holy Ghost in them. If you are a Christian, you already have the Holy Ghost in you and with you. But many of you have not received the baptism of the power of God. Are you listening? Oh, I'm going to give you a good Bible. I know I got good Bible for you. I'm ready for you. Many Christians come to church and they keep the Holy Ghost all bottled up. On the inside. Have you been up in church and you've been afraid to shout and say amen? Don't get nervous. It ain't nothing but water. Amen. Saints are looking. I might spill the water just to mess you up. Amen. Amen. You keep looking up here like that, I'm going to throw some water on you. Amen. Amen. They're looking, wondering about the water. It ain't nothing but water. H2. No. Amen. Amen. What is the point I was trying to make? Huh? Yeah, all bottled up at church, afraid to release the power of God. Wait a minute. And afraid to receive more of God. Afraid you will cry and not stop crying. Afraid you will shout and not. Let me tell you, you will stop shouting. You're not shouting now, are you? You will stop crying. Amen. Don't be afraid of God. He wants it flowing up out of you. Amen. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I need to receive it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, how do you receive it? Are you ready? I'm going to go through it line by line and show you. There's a whole lot of junk going on about what people say about it. And I stay with what the Word says. Are you listening? My views changed because I was following the Word. You all know my story. I used to fight the experience of the Holy Spirit because I was taught it was of the devil. And I kept reading the Word. I told you, my mama told me, after I learned all the Greek and stuff, you know, mama told me, stop quenching the Holy Spirit. I'm like, mama don't know nothing about the Greek. How should she tell me about something in the Word? Arrogant in my ignorance. Are you listening? Amen. Go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You ready? Somebody needs to take notes because I'm going to give you some heavy information here. I've gone over some of this before. And what's interesting, some people said, Pastor, when have you ever preached about that? This is probably about the fourth time. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 through 4. You ready? What is the question we are asking right now? Amen. Amen. The teacher's in the house, right? How do you receive the what, everybody? All right, how do you receive the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, right? Old English is ghost, amen, and modern is spirit, but technically in the Greek is spirit, right? And when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come, they were all what? You see where I am in verse number 1? Acts chapter 2, verse 1, stay with me. They were all with what? One accord in one place, suddenly there came a what? Sound from heaven as a what? rushing mighty wind. And what did it do? It filled all the house where they were what? They were what? They were what? They were not standing. They were. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat on how many of them? Each of them. And they were all what? Come on, you remember what we did, right? They were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost and began to do what? Speak with other tongues as the what? Spirit gave them. How did they receive the Holy Spirit? They were all what, everybody? They were all sitting. Somebody say sitting. They were all sitting and they were all in one place, and suddenly there was a what? Noise from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And like tongues of fire sat on each of them, right? And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what, everybody? Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Did you write that down? How did they receive it in Acts chapter 2? They were what? Sitting. They were all in one accord. They were all in one place. And tongues of fire came and sat on their head, right? Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8. Are you there? And look at verse number 5. Here's Philip the evangelist. He's going to the city of Samaria. You see that in verse number 5? He's going to preach Christ to them. Right? And verse number 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the what? Miracles that he did, right? Unclean spirits, verse number 7, came out of people crying with a loud voice, right? Many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were what? Healed. Amen. That's the way church ought to be. Amen. Spirits coming out in the name of Jesus. The spirit of fear. Hallelujah. The demonic oppression of rejection. Bound and cast out in a church service, crying and getting out, never to bother people again. People are being healed, right? Look at the next verse. We go down to verse number 12. That's the story there. Verse number 12. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the what, everybody? Come on, saints, where am I in verse number 12? When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the what? Not concerning the denomination. Not concerning a particular church. But the things of the kingdom are larger than any denomination. He was preaching the kingdom of God. And the name of Jesus, what happened? They heard it, and what did they do? After they heard it, what did they do, everybody? They were what? So I hear the preaching of the word of God, right? The kingdom of God. Then I go get baptized, right? So now I've heard it, now I am baptized. What does the next verse say? Both men and women. Verse 13, Simon was trying to get into the mess, right? We're not dealing with him. But anyway, verse number 14. Now when the apostles, which were where? At Jerusalem, heard that who had received? Samaria had received the what? Word of God. They sent unto them, do you have your thinking cap on? Peter and John, who when they were come down, what did they do? Prayed for them that they might do what, everybody? Receive the Holy Ghost. What does verse number 16 say? For as what? He hadn't even fallen on any of them. Only they were what, everybody? They had been baptized. They received the word of God and they were baptized, but they had not received the power of the Holy Spirit, right? What does the next verse say? And verse number 17, and what happened? They laid what? Hands on them, and they did what, everybody? Received the Holy Ghost. So how did they get it in chapter 2? They got it in chapter 2. They were all what? Sitting down. And then there was a sound, there was a noise, right? There was fire. They got it. The Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with other tongues. Over in chapter 8, how did they get it? I'm baptized. And then after I'm baptized, somebody comes from out of town, comes over to where I am, prayed that I receive it, lay hands on me. And did they receive it? Yes, they receive it. Was it different from chapter 2? Yes or no? Man, we only got a few brave folks in here. Come on, come on. Jump up in here with the sermon. Amen. Where are you? Was the experience in chapter 2 different from the experience in chapter 8? Yes. What was different? Right. In chapter 2, did anyone lay hands? In chapter 8, did they lay hands on everyone? And did they receive the Holy Ghost as a result of hands being laid on? In chapter 2, they spoke with tongues when they received the Holy Ghost. In chapter 8, does it mention them speaking in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost? You ready for the next one? Let's go. Let me deal with that. There must have been some way for them to know that the people had received the Holy Ghost, because they knew they had received it after they laid hands on them. I mess with you, babe. I'm not going to mess with anybody else. Watch this. My wife has a purse. Do you see it? She has a purse with her, right? Do you see? Okay, baby, wave your purse. Amen. It's a rough audience in here today. Amen. This is a purse of what? A purse of what? Oh, the purse. Now, you got that. Now, my wife doesn't have the purse now. I have her purse. Can you see that? Oh, okay. I hear you. Yeah, I better carry it the right way. Amen. So now, listen, I have her purse. You can see I have her purse. You can see she doesn't have the purse. We can see that there is something different. She had a purse. Now she doesn't have a purse. I'm going to go over and give her her purse. Now, can I tell that she now has a purse? Because before, she didn't have the purse. I have the purse. So there must be something that I can see or hear to know that now something is different. Are you following me? Because one minute I know you don't have the Holy Ghost, and the next minute, so there must be something I can hear or something I can see that lets me know that she now has what she didn't have before. Come on. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how they knew, but the Bible does tell us they knew that they got it, because it said after we laid hands on them, they got the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Come on, this is what the Word of God says. Are you ready? There must be some way to know that you have experienced something. Somebody say experienced something. Come on. Acts chapter 9. I'm not through. Acts chapter 9. Look at another one. Acts chapter 9. Verses number 10 through 18. Oh, Jesus. We're going to read all of that? Okay. Acts chapter 9. Amen. I'm just trying to get this clear in your heart. Amen. Acts chapter 9. You ready? Verse number 10. Are you ready? There was a certain disciple. Is that what it says in your Bible? Come on. Stay with me, Malachi. There was a what disciple? So this is like a brand X disciple, amen? Wasn't an apostle, wasn't an evangelist, wasn't a teacher, just a certain disciple, a certain church member at Damascus named Ananias, right? And to him saith the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, behold, here I am, Lord. Do you have that? Look at number 11. What does the Lord say to this regular member of the church? The Lord said to him what? Get up. I want you to go to a street. I give you the name of the street. I tell you who to ask for, because in that house there's somebody who is praying. And that person who is praying has seen a vision that a man with your name would come and do what? Put his hands on him that he might receive his what, everybody? If you have not gotten something from God, you can't even see what God has to offer. So he's seen. Somebody's going to come, and I'm going to get my sight back. You remember Paul, God had knocked him down, made him blind, right? 13, what does Ananias do? Ananias starts telling the Lord what the Lord already knows. Look at your Bible. It says, Ananias said, Lord, what? I have heard. Do you know everything you heard, God heard it before you heard it? Lord, I heard. Yeah, okay. I heard about this man. This is a bad man. Any bad people up in here? Some of you, if we knew your background, we wouldn't sit next to you right now. Amen, amen. Matter of fact, some of you that haven't been converted, we wouldn't sit next to you now, knowing what goes through your mind, even in church. Devils need to be cast out of you, and you're sitting there bottled up trying to hold on to your mess. But I declare in the name of Jesus, everything that's not straight will be straightened out by the power of God, and your life will turn around whether you want to turn or not. Oh, I declare that in the name of Jesus. I declare it in the name of Jesus. What does he say here? He said, that's a bad man, right? 14, he said, for he has authority from people. Amen. Don't worry about people. I said, don't worry about people. He has authority from people to bind up all that call on your name. What did God say? God said, you better get up. Amen. Amen. For he is a what? Chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, and I'm going to show him what he's going to suffer. Now, what did God say? I want you to pray that he believes you're going to pray. His vision is you're going to pray that he might receive his what? All right, you got that? He goes on in verse number 17. He goes to the guy's house, right? He enters the house, and what does he do? He puts his hands on him and says, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way that you came, what hath done what? Sent me that you might do what? And is that what your Bible says? What happened then? Immediately there did what? Fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he did what? Received his sight forthwith and got up and was what? Was that different from chapter 8? Was that different from chapter 2? In chapter 2, what were they doing? There was a what? There was a what? There was a what? And nobody laid hands on them. And the next thing we looked at, they were together. Somebody laid hands on them. In this one we looked at, somebody was blind. He laid hands on him, right? He received his sight, and the Bible says like scales fell from his eyes. Do you see that? Was there a description of speaking in tongues there? Did you read it there? Now Paul tells you later, I speak with tongues more than anybody. But then I have one where the Holy Ghost fell, they all spoke in tongues. I have another one where the Holy Ghost came as a result of hands being put on. Something had to happen that everybody saw or heard for them to know. Jesus, help me. I'm coming to that in a minute. Amen. Then in the next one, I put hands on this guy named Saul. Scales fall off of his eyes, and he received the Holy Ghost. And then he got baptized. Huh? Did we read one where the guy gets baptized first and then gets the Holy Ghost? Then we read another one where the guy gets the Holy Ghost first and then gets baptized. What is God doing? Oh, Lord, somebody jumped ahead in the sermon. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Did we go to chapter 10 yet? Acts chapter 10. Are you all still all right? All right, I'm trying to get this. If I got too much material, come back next week. Amen. Acts chapter 10. All right. Acts chapter 10. Pick up at verse number 44. This is Peter. Watch this one. This is wild. You know, God is the best person to be around in a good party. God has God has more fun than any of us. Amen. Some of us are so boring. Amen. Amen. God has a good time. All right, y'all don't want to say amen. I just say it myself. Watch. Because here, Peter is here talking to people. Are you listening? He's talking to people. And at 44, verse 44, he's toward, he may not even be at the end of his sermon. He's talking. And what does the Bible say? While Peter is speaking, do you see that? While Peter is speaking these words, what happened? The Holy Ghost just came in. Do you see that? While he was speaking, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them, which what? Come on, saints, which what? And they of the circumcision, which believe, were astonished. For as many as came with Peter, because that on the what? Gentiles also was poured out the what? And they heard them speak with tongues and do what? Magnify God. Then Peter said, man, verse number 47, we might as well baptize them, right? Because they already got the Holy Ghost just like us. Can you imagine? Here I'm up here preaching,
and trying to get to a certain point in my sermon, and God is so excited about what? The people were receiving the word. They were not just hearing it and then passing over, but it was going into their hearts. And while they were receiving the word, the Holy Ghost said, why wait? Let's get the party started now. He jumped down and filled up their cup, and they started speaking in tongues. Listen, and the speaker was saying, wow. The people with the speaker said, what are we going to do? We might as well baptize them because they are obviously in the church. Even though we haven't accepted them into membership. Is that different? Okay, let's go to chapter 19. You're still not convinced. Chapter 19. Did they speak in tongues in that one? Huh? Did they speak in tongues in that one? Yes or no? Come on, yes or no? Did they speak in tongues in that one? Chapter 19. Look at verse number 1. You ready? It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was passing through, and he came to a place called Ephesus. Do you see that in verse number 1? And he found certain disciples. Somebody say disciples. He hung out with them, verse number 2, and what did he say? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said what? Yeah, they said, we don't even know what you're talking about. Like some people up in church, amen. Amen, have come to church and haven't received anything else. Look at verse number 3. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Are you ready for this? We received a denominational baptism. We were baptized as children, not knowing God. We were baptized at the age 12 because mama said, get baptized. Anybody know about that? I told you about my first baptism. I thought we were going to swim, amen. We all get in the water. I was going to show out, amen. And mama, look, you better not. I still remember that look today, amen. I got baptized just like everybody. But I was going to show them. I could, you know, get the thing going, right? Didn't know nothing about God. I was going to cut up in the pool, man. Right. There are a whole lot of people up in church been baptized by water and never by the Holy Ghost. They've been baptized by a denomination, but never by the Holy Spirit. What did Paul say in verse number 4? Then said Paul, John did what? Verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on who? When they heard this, what happened? Look at the sequence. Peter is preaching. The Holy Ghost just jumps on him. Paul is teaching. Holy Ghost doesn't even move. He says, you need to get baptized. What did the people decide to do? When they heard this verse number 5, what does it say? They were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse number 6. And when Paul did what? Lay his hands on them. What happened? The Holy Ghost came on them, and what happened? They spake with tongues, and they did what, everybody? Did I have a difference? Okay, I had Acts chapter 2, I had Acts chapter 8, I had Acts chapter 9, I had Acts chapter 10, I had Acts chapter 19, now I have today. Got today. Mm-hmm. Hear me. It is possible to hang around Christians and know something is missing. I could be hanging around you and you up in church bottled up and know something is missing. There's something. Jesus, where are my intercessors? Pray for me. I got to say something. There's something bottled up in you. There's a lack of joy. You're in church, but you're full of anger. I mean, just angry. There's a lack of love. There's no passion. You're attending church, but something is missing. Pastor, how do you know something is missing? Because of how you treat yourself. I know something is missing when I look at you and see how you treat you. And how you allow others to treat you, something is missing. Hey, that was God. That wasn't God. That thing you get wrapped up in, that was not God. How do I know something is missing? I know it by how you treat your family. I know it how you treat your children. I know it how you treat folk around you. That ain't God. God should have told you something. In the middle of that mess, if God was in your life with the Holy Ghost bubbling up out of you, he would have at least told you how to dress. He would tell you how to eat. He'd tell you how to act. He'd tell you to read your Bible before you turn on the television. That ain't God running your life. Something is missing. Something is missing. You can just look and say, have you the way you living, that ain't God. Now you are up in church. Ooh. Somebody been pray for me. I just heard something else. I'm going to say it just like I heard it. Amen. Y'all fix it. Some of us have been church because we've been trained little monkeys to do the same thing over and over and over again. Just like little monkeys. It's 7 days a week. I'm going to church. Don't know nothing about God, but I know that's where I need to be. But don't have no God in my life. I just feel different when I don't go to church. I don't feel different because I don't know God. Back to our question, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Notice what the Bible has shown us. You ready? In Acts chapter 2, when they received the Holy Ghost, was there noise? Wake up, saints. They're like, yeah, there was noise. In Acts chapter 2, was there noise? Was there fire? In Acts chapter 8, did Peter lay hands on people? No mention of tongues, but something had to be seen. In Acts chapter 9, an average believer dealt with Paul. He was baptized, and then he got baptized in water, right? In Acts chapter 10, Peter was preaching, didn't even get to talk about getting baptized. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm just claiming them as mine now because they're receiving my word. Acts chapter 19, Paul laid hands. Sometimes when the Holy Ghost comes upon people, the Bible says they clearly spoke in tongues. Sometimes when the Holy Ghost comes on people, the Bible doesn't clearly say what happened, but something had to happen because they had to know they got it. Everyone experiencing the Holy Ghost in the Bible did not experience it the same way. Some of them got it after they were baptized. Some of them got it sitting down. Some of them got it, I'm sure, with their hands lifted up before God and worshiping him because of what they heard. Some of them got it blind, wondering if God would open my eyes. But in the process of opening my eyes, he gave me an anointing that would run throughout my life. They got it that way. Which means then you don't seek to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost trying to get what I got. You are trying to get what God has for you. Let me say that again. You don't chase the experience, you chase God. God deals with each of us as individuals. The Holy Ghost may come on you, and when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you may cry. Some of us, when the Holy Ghost comes, we may take off running. Amen. Amen. Some of us are not bottled up. Amen. Like some saints up in church, just so bottled up, and God is moving in your life, and you're saying, hallelujah. Just a little hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some of you will literally get free of you. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of the triumph and say, my God reigns. Not just in me, but all around me, my God reigns. It's not so important how you get touched. What is important is that you do get touched. Some people have said, man, when I was baptized by the Holy Ghost, it felt like liquid fire. Just floods and waves of fire. You hear people talk about that, right? Some people said, I got baptized by the Holy Ghost, it felt like electricity. That's fine, amen. Whatever it felt like, don't chase the electricity. Amen. We can plug you in and get you a whole lot of Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not a feeling, even though there are times when you feel his presence. I told you before, I felt God's presence so I couldn't hardly drive. And I was having a conversation with God and said, that's interesting. When you come around, I can't hardly drive, which means I have a problem enjoying your presence. I can't walk with you because you get near and I'm over here shouting rather than walking. Enoch was able to walk with God. God, come anywhere near me. Ah! I'm giving it all up, amen. It's not what you feel or may not feel. It's not chasing the feeling. It's chasing God. And we're going after the experience in the Word of God. Let me hit you in the face with something. Have I taught you the Word of God? Huh? Have I taught you the Word of God? Have I taught you anything that's not in the Word? Have you experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you haven't experienced it, then you need to get it. You need to stop halting between two opinions, because what you have ain't all that God has for you. There's a whole lot more, and you are robbing yourself and others by not being filled up. I want enough for me and for you and somebody down the street. You can receive by listening to the Word. You can receive by the laying on of hands. You can receive as somebody else get tongues of fire. The important thing, I'm not seeking your experience. You should not be seeking mine. You should be seeking God's. So how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? My suggestion is be totally open to God. I need to spend an entire sermon on this openness part. One of the problems some people have with the Holy Ghost is that they are so intellectual that they don't want to do anything they don't understand. Because in their mind, why would God fill the cup up and let it overflow? I got him bottled up. Some of you thinking about that. Why would Pastor waste that water? You weren't going to drink it anyway. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject. Amen. I'm serious. Some people get bogged down on little details and miss the point of what God is doing. God wants your cup to run over on your enemies. That's why he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Because some of your enemies are not God's enemies. He wants to run off of you onto them and bless them like they never been blessed before. And here you are all bottled up. I got enough of God for me and for me to make it to heaven, but nobody else. I'm afraid to receive more. You need to be totally open to however God wants to work in your life. Open. Don't look for a particular sensation. You hear people talk about Holy Ghost goosebumps. A goosebump is a goosebump. It may or may not be God. It's probably your nervous system responding to excitement. Amen? Don't look for a particular reaction. Be open. Let God do in you whatever he wants to do. Some of us will take what we choose. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I only want to speak in recognizable languages if he gives me the gift of tongues. I can show you in Corinthians, it's more than that. There are unrecognizable languages in Corinthians. I can show you a good Bible. Some of us, I only want it, but I want Brother Bob to lay hands on me. If Brother Bob don't lay hands on me, then I'm not receiving the Holy Ghost. I only want the Holy Ghost if it comes at the end of the service and they take me to a quiet room. So as I start praising God, I won't feel like I'm being looked at. Because I don't want nobody looking at me when I'm praising God. Because I start looking funny. I start making faces and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, but if God is working in your life, you don't care how you look. In fact, if the truth be told, you don't look as good as you think you look today. The only thing is your eyes have gotten bad and you think you look better. You look the same or worse than you did yesterday. Y'all know that's the truth. That's why you're buying all that kind of stuff, trying to cream it up and hold it down, amen, and misusing God's vegetables. You got carrots and everything and cucumber all over your face, and God, he intended for you to eat it, and you're trying to hold stuff together. You might as well take a safety pin and just pin it back, amen. Oh, Jesus, where are my notes? Where are my notes? Where are my notes? Whew. Are you listening to me? We're here playing with God. Yeah, I'm trying to find my notes. I done gone off talking about the saints. Amen? Amen. But some of us need to stop playing. Am I telling the truth? Amen. Trying to preserve your body and losing your soul. You will spend more time under a cucumber than you will studying the word of God. Working out at the gym, but won't get on your knees and pray. I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as. Hallelujah. If you're not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or if you would like to be filled again and again, God has something more for you. The Bible says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Do you have that? That'll push people out of your life that you can't move. Yes, it will. The power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you want this power? How many of you want it? No, how many of you want it? You're not ashamed to want it. Amen. And you're willing to say to God, however you want to send it, however you want to release it, I want more of you. I want to be filled up to what everybody, overflowing in the name of Jesus. I want enough power for me. I want enough for my family, the people around me. I want to be able to go into work and have enough of God on me to affect my boss, my manager, his manager, the supervisor, the industry, in the name of God. That's the power that I want. I can be his witnesses. I won't be afraid. I won't be ashamed of the power of God. I won't keep him bottled up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's back up. First, you have to be born again. Are you with me? If you haven't given your heart to Christ, then that's the first thing you need to do. Now, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. Where can we do it? Baby, could you and Sister Larisha move down?
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be. And I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and an evangelistic center, youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational. And a lot of evangelistic activity would take place. We would have the kind of headquarters that would glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage. I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.